Hi, my name is Amelia. I'm from Russia and this episode is brought to you by DistroKid. Did you know that using DistroKid's promo card feature, you can create easy, customizable graphics to promote your Spotify release? You can upload a personalized design to appear with your music that you've released through DistroKid on Spotify. This is also a great way to promote your release and drive increased shares, streams, and saves of your music. This is a free feature for all DistroKid members. Take advantage of this awesome function and so many more by using our DistroKid discount link, distrokid.com/VIP/MPW.
What am I saying?
This is MPW.
MPW.
The podcast
with your host, Zylo Aria.
Cool.
A podcast about music production
for the everyday musician,
where we learn from experienced studio engineers and each other.
Natalia Milanesi is a Grammy Award-winning audio engineer, music producer, and arranger-composer. She has many years of experience working across various studios, such as Abbey Road Studios, Rack Studios, and Tile Yard Studios. She also has worked with many established artists and bands such as Sam Smith, Jazz Coleman, and Nile Rodgers, and also works in education at the University of Westminster.
Welcome to the podcast, Natalia. It's so lovely to have you with us today. So how has your day been?
Oh, my day has been great. I'm visiting family. I'm in Brazil. It's sunny and it's lovely. So I had a great day.
Oh, lovely. That's good. I'm sure that's a nice contrast to starting to get cold in the UK.
Oh, yeah. I left the UK. It was 8 degrees Celsius. I got here. It was 38.
Oh, so, my God.
Very
that
different.
Is indeed. A big contrast. Yeah, cool. All right. So today we are going to talk all about the creative process and the psychology behind that. But before getting into that, I would love to learn a little bit more about you. So where did things start for you in music and how did you get to where you are today?
Well, it started very early. I started learning piano when I was 8 years old. I was fascinated by music. I always wanted to learn how to play an instrument. And when I was around 12 years old, I started writing music and I started taking an interest in learning more about how to record music and arrange and how to make a record, because I was writing this music and I wanted to put my ideas into an actual product to hear it back. So I started learning how to arrange, how to record and produce, how to engineer a record, how to mix and all the technical bits of how to make a record. And from there, I started studying music production, sound engineering. I moved to England. I went to Abbey Road Institute. And after that, I did my degree, my master's degree in professional media for composition, film scoring. And yeah, from there, I started getting different jobs and working with recording people, composing, mixing, all sorts of things, really. Everything music related, I've done it.
It does sound like it, and you have such a wide variety of experience as well. So, no, that's great to hear the journey around it. So can you tell me what is one event in your life that you feel you have learned the most from?
Well, to be honest, I think that was very recent, actually. It was during the COVID lockdown. For me, the isolation moment was a life-changing experience. Because in the beginning of 2020, I was just coming out of a period in my life that was a bit difficult in 2019. At the end of 2019, I had some health issues and I had a difficult time. And the beginning of 2020, when lockdown started, it was a time for me to stop and reflect a bit about my life and myself and take some time to breathe and recharge and say, where do we go from here? So I think having that time in isolation to be with yourself can be very productive if you know how to use that time to get to know yourself and to know your goals and your objectives in life and to design a strategy to work towards it. So I think that was a life-changing moment for me.
Mm, yeah. It's funny, like that time, everyone's had such a different experience and obviously some really negative and then there have been some positive things coming out of it as well. And I love that concept of really knowing yourself and going for what you want. And I think so many people in the world don't seem to know that. Like, what do they want? Not what does other people want around them and what they think they should be going for.
Yeah, I think this is very important for a creative person to give yourself the time and the space to really get to know yourself, know your goals, know what you feel, because sometimes we don't even understand how we feel about things and we have to step back, contemplate that moment and say, how do I actually feel about this? So sometimes because the pace of modern life is so quick, you don't do this. You don't give yourself that time and that space to say, how do I feel about this? What do I want? And being in isolation and having that time because everything stopped, that was really life-changing for me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love that there was a positive out of that time for you. So can you tell me, Natalia, what is a random fact about yourself that maybe not that many people in the industry know about you?
Oh, wow. That is a difficult one. But I think because I work with technology and I work with like everything new, maybe some people don't know that I'm fascinated about history. I love history. I love things, everything ancient. I'm fascinated about it, archaeology, and I always loved everything medieval as well, the instruments, the weapons, clothes, everything from that period. And I used to collect daggers and swords and all that kind of stuff because I'm really fascinated by it. And there's a thing that I don't really talk to people about, but it's a contrast working with technology and with recording and all the new technology and the innovation in the world of recording and music, but also loving all the ancient things and everything that is historically related, everything from the past also fascinates me.
Okay. Oh, I love that. So cool. And we actually, me and my partner were watching a documentary series on Netflix, which was talking about apocalypses of the past and things. And there was, who was it? Is it Graham Hitchcock? Anyway, I've just gone off on a tangent. But it's something that I didn't think I was interested in, but recently have kind of found a wonder. It's just so, so incredible to see how things were years and years ago, and we feel like we're really advanced now, but obviously there were advanced societies previously as well, if you see the things that have been achieved.
Yeah, and understanding history makes us able to understand our present as well, because things evolved, things don't happen overnight, everything is a process. So if you understand how things happened, you have a better understanding of the world that surrounds you now. So I think it's very important to be interested in history as well.
Definitely, definitely. Love that. So getting into our topic today about the creative process and the psychology around it. So in your extensive career in different parts of the music industry, you have worn various hats as an audio engineer, music producer, composer. So can you share with me some specific instances where understanding the psychology of the creative process played a pivotal role in the success of that project?
Yeah, I worked with many artists and obviously each one of them had a different personality. And some people are introverts, some people are extroverts. I worked with people with mood swings. I worked with people with ADHD. Everyone that had their own challenges and their own characteristics. And for me, the most important thing and what was most effective was to tailor my workflow according to people's needs. Because every artist, they have their needs and they have their way of expressing themselves, and you have to hear that. So ultimately, you want the same result at the end of every recording session. You want to walk out with a great record. But there is that thing like all roads lead to Rome. There's many ways to get to that end. So it's the most effective thing is always to make the artist feel comfortable so they can create. As an example, like I could say there's two different artists that I can remember. They were complete opposites and I had to take different complete opposite approaches to work with them. So I remember this one guy and he was very talented and he was a young guy and he was starting out his career. He was playing opening gigs for big acts in stadiums. It was very promising, very talented, but very young, inexperienced. And I was working with his manager at the time on his artist development project. And I was a producer that was producing his first kind of like proper sessions in a studio. And with him, the approach was almost like a parental guidance. You know, you have to be present. You have to be very present. You have to reassure them that everything is fine, and you have to encourage him to express himself, because sometimes it was very introverted and very timid. So sometimes he wouldn't voice his opinion. He wouldn't say when he wasn't feeling comfortable. So you have to be a bit more, like, guide them a bit more closely and with a bit more presence. They need to see your presence, acknowledge your presence to feel reassured and to feel safe. And complete opposite to that situation, I worked with another artist. He was a renowned artist. He was a big hit in the 80s. And he had he was a very troubled person. He had bipolar disorder. He suffered with addiction. He had mood swings. And his creative process was very chaotic. It was like a whirlwind of creativity and all the energy. And the approach with that was to give him space. So what I had to do is to step back and to be almost invisible. You have to make sure that all the technical aspects of the process are covered, so he doesn't feel like that is happening. Almost he doesn't feel like there's anyone else in the room. He has to feel like he's the only person in the room. Everything is flowing. Everything is working fine. If he needs you, he's going to tell you. Otherwise, you have to give him space. So these are two different people that I worked with, and it was a completely different approach because I had to tailor it to the person and to the personality and to their own experiences in life as well.
Hmm. That's amazing, and that's a great example of how two very different people need to be treated differently to get the best out of them. But how do you go about working that out then, Natalia? Like, is that kind of trial and error, or do you have any strategies to work out how this person is going to work best?
Well, I think it's important sometimes to try to meet the artist before the session, maybe have a chat with them about their project, and you're trying to gauge how they feel about the project, how they behave, their personality, and you go from there. You have to start chatting with them and start assessing what the personality is, because they're going to reflect that in the way they act. Like this guy that was very introverted, he was very quiet, he didn't speak a lot, his voice was very low in volume, you know, everything. You can assess that thing when you speak to him. Whereas the other guy was really loud and really enthusiastic about everything, really passionate, really just like euphoric when he was doing things. So you can start assessing how they behave when you're speaking to them and you talk about the project. I think that's the first thing that you have to do. Always talk about the project before you start. Before stepping into the studio, you talk about the project and you assess what to do from there.
Okay, now that's a really good tip to get a gauge of the person before you start the project.
Yeah.
That's great. So if we talk about creative blocks, everyone experiences them at some stage in their career, and some more frequently than others. Do you have any techniques or approaches that you use to help artists and potentially yourself as well overcome these challenges and keep that flow going?
Well, I would say the first thing when you get to a block is to take a break. That always helps, because you have to change the scenery. You have to move your mind away from the fact that you're trying to finish something. Because every time you're staring at a blank page and you're trying to force yourself to do it, it's not going to work. Because you can't be creative in that way. You're rationalizing the process. And if you're rationalizing the process, you're not opening your mind to ideas. Because the ideas, they come in on an open mode, on a randomized mode that you just set there and you're like, oh, what could I do? Oh, this might work. This might not work. And you're just brainstorming, basically. That is how it starts. And if you don't let that spark start the process, because you're rationalizing everything and you're trying, you're making an effort, it's not going to work. So the first thing is to take a break, change the scenery, go to another room, leave the studio, go have a coffee somewhere, get your mind away from that. And the other thing that I would say, maybe search for external stimuli and any source of inspiration that is not necessarily your music and what you're doing. And it doesn't need to be music related. Could be anything. You just expose yourself to other forms of art. Could be literature, photography, cinema, dance, anything. Just search for inspiration from other sources that is not what necessarily what you're doing. And that will trigger emotions. And by triggering different emotions, by receiving all this external input of other creations, you might be able to create something new based on that, because these emotions are going to make you have ideas.
That's good. So lots of good tips there to get out of your own head. And one thing that you were saying about, you know, being in the flow and not working too hard for it, would you say that maybe the best creative ideas are just easy? Like, and when you're working really, really hard to get that idea, maybe you don't come up with the best thing?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, definitely. Because normally when you're working hard is to refine an idea, but I don't believe the beginning of the idea you're working hard for it. The beginning of where the idea comes from is spontaneous. And then once you have the idea and you have to tailor it and shape it to a way that it becomes a final product, then you're rationalizing it a bit and you're being a bit more objective. But in the beginning, it's completely subjective. You have to just see what comes to your brain and start working with that. Like, for instance, when I was doing my master's degree in professional media composition, if I was given a brief and a video and I had to score that, sometimes I would start with an idea. I would sit in front of the piano and watch that a couple of times and start playing something. And okay, that's the beginning of it. Then I would sit in front of the computer and start structuring that into an arrangement. But let's say you write a cello line and you write a violin line, and then you're like, I'm not quite sure what the viola is going to do. So you leave it playing on the background. That's what I used to do. You leave it playing in the background and you go do something else. I would go and cook my dinner or whatever. And then I would start humming a melody. And I was like, that's the line I'm missing, you know. So that can be a way to make it work, a way that is very productive, at least for me, was very productive. And it really worked to just sometimes leave it there. I've got this far. It's great. I'm going to go and do something else and get my mind out of it for some time. And then it would naturally come to me what I needed to do next. So sometimes all you need to do is to give yourself the space and not put too much pressure on yourself to finish something.
Okay. I love that. That's good. And yeah, taking breaks sounds like a really useful thing to do when you're feeling stuck. Yeah, that's good. So this question I think could be very useful for producers, but also artists. But from the perspective of a producer, you bring your artistic vision to a project. And how do you then strike a balance between guiding the creative process of that project, but also respecting the artist's work and what they want?
Well, I think, as I mentioned earlier, the first thing that you need to do is to sit down and talk about a project before you start it. Because you need to make sure that you believe that artist and you believe what they want to communicate to their audience. You have to be on the same page and you have to be invested in their art, because otherwise you won't make a good job. So you have to embrace that as your own art a bit as well. But also you need to understand, during this chat that you have with the artist, you need to understand what that project means to them and what emotions and what ideas they want to communicate to their audience, because every work of art communicates something. And you have to go from that understanding, that is where you start. And then you have to understand that the collaboration emerges from a complex interplay of divergent and convergent ideas and thinking. So, of course, everyone is different. There will be instances where you agree with the artist and instances where you would suggest something different. But ultimately, you have to find compromises and you have to work together to build up something. But also, I think you have to understand that as a producer and as an engineer, ultimately, your ideas and your expertise will enhance the artist's vision. So you can't take over and think that, oh, my vision needs to be the main one. So you have to understand that, and you have to act. For me, being a producer is a little bit like, well, is a weird comparison, but a little bit like acting, because someone else writes a screenplay and you're an actor and you have to go there with your techniques and your talent and act and make the people that are watching that film believe those emotions and live that story. And as a producer, as an engineer, you're kind of doing the same thing. An artist writes a song and they want to communicate something. They want to tell people that they feel a certain way about something, that they believe something. And you have to embrace that and you have to use your knowledge, your techniques in production, in recording, in mixing, your expertise to make the audience experience that same feeling that the artist is experiencing. So in that way, that is similar in a way, and that is what you're doing as a producer and engineer. You're enhancing the artist's artistic vision.
That is such a good analogy. I've never heard anyone explain production and engineering like that before, but it makes so much sense. So really liked the comparison there.
Yeah, I think all art forms are related, and sometimes people neglect that, you know, all visual arts, or painting, photography, film, music, dance, everything is the communication of something. So you can make analogies about every art form against every other art form, because they all mean something and they all communicate something. They all relate in a way.
Yeah, I love that. So you were talking about speaking to the artist before, and then you get an idea of what they want for the project. But I guess there probably are some artists that are a bit unsure and then are maybe changing their mind through the process. Have you found that before? And how do you, as a producer or engineer, adapt yourself to changes that might come along throughout the process?
Well, I think the first and most important thing that always comes up, because it's fundamental, is communication. You have to keep an open line of communication, sometimes real-time communication. Within reason, you have to make yourself available. So if people have an idea and they send you an email, they text you, oh my God, can we change this? Or can we schedule a recording session? And also being flexible to a certain extent with schedules and trying to adapt, because creativity, sometimes it just happens. So you have to try to adapt to that. Keep the communication as open as possible. Active listening. So when you listen to what the artist has to say, you listen, but you also need to understand their feelings and their ideas and how they feel about what they're saying. So not just what they're saying, but the implications of that. That sometimes there are in between the lines, they're not really explicitly said, but you need to understand that, and you need to act accordingly. You need to engage with those feelings and with what is being said to you. And obviously respect the creative process and respect the differences of every person and make them feel reassured, encourage their creativity, experimentation. If they want to try something different, you recorded something and 2 days later they had an idea, they want to try something different. If you have time in your schedule before the release and everything, encourage that, because this sometimes is how great things happen. And value their ideas as if it were your own ideas, basically, because everyone's idea, it has their value. Everyone has their own opinion and you have to respect that. And your own opinion is your opinion, but it's not more valid than anybody else's. So you have to take it a bit like that. It's like, okay, the artist has their opinion, I have mine, I'll listen to this. Maybe we can combine it and make something great.
That's such a great attitude of valuing everyone's ideas as if they're your own. And it just takes the ego out of the process a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Because facts are facts, scientific facts are facts, but opinions are a personal thing. So my opinion is no more valid than anyone else's opinion, because it's not a fact, it's an opinion. So I should respect other people's opinions and embrace it. And we can, if we discuss our opinions openly, we can combine all the best traits of everyone's opinions and create something great. As diversity is a thing to be embraced, in the sense that if everyone was the same in the world, it would be boring and we wouldn't have any innovations or anything different would happen. It would be just the same thing over and over again.
For sure. No, that's a great attitude, and I wish everyone in the world thought that way about this one thing. But no, that's great. So coming to the topic of self-doubt and uncertainty, and as artists, I feel like we are so prone to this. We're putting ourselves on the line with everything that we create. So how do you go about building and nurturing the confidence of the artist during a session, especially when they're starting to doubt themselves?
Well, I think it's extremely natural that they will be insecure because they in the beginning of the process, because they are sharing what they've just created with the world. You write a song, no one has listened to it before, and you have to go to a studio, sit in front of a producer and say, I made this. So you're exposing, sometimes the artists, they're exposing their most intimate thoughts and feelings in those songs, and they have to present it to someone. So it must be nerve-wracking the first time that they're doing it in front of a producer. So you have to have that understanding and respect that, because creativity is deeply intertwined with emotion. So you have to have the understanding, that awareness and respect, be respectful of that, because the artist may see their work as an extension of the self. So you may hurt them if when you're criticizing their work, if even if it's constructive criticism, you have to be subtle about it, because if you're too abrupt, you may hurt them with that. And that you have to start from that point, have that understanding. Then one technique that is really good is to always, positive reinforcement always precedes constructive criticism. So every time you want to suggest something to improve their work, first you make a comment about something that you liked about their work. So you listen to their demo and you can think that maybe the bridge has a nice harmony, or the chords are great, or you can think that maybe the tone for the guitar solo is great. So you make a comment about something that you liked, a genuine comment about something that you think, oh, this is great. And then you make a suggestion about something you think could be improved in a very nice, subtle and respectful way. You make a suggestion. Because once you recognize their talent and something that they did really well, that will give them reassurance that you respect their work, you respect them as a creative individual, you acknowledge that they can do great things, this is great, and then you suggest something that could be improved, but always put it across as a suggestion. Never say like, oh, okay, this doesn't work, let's do this. Say, oh, maybe on this section, we could try this and see if this works. And then after they try it, you kind of, they're going to listen to it, and if it works better, you're going to hear it, they're going to hear it, and you all going to agree that it works better than what was there previously. So that is an important thing. And also to understand the notion that creativity only happens when you overcome the fear of making mistakes, and you have to try to make them understand that as well, if they don't already understand, to make the artist understand that it's okay to make mistakes and it's constructive. Sometimes you learn and you go forward. So it's not a bad thing.
Mm, for sure. And speaking of mistakes, can you share any instances where embracing that kind of culture of being okay with mistakes and taking creative risks led to unexpected outcomes in the project that actually ended up being much better?
Well, yeah, I mean, that seems to happen all the time in the history of music. People are discovering things because they play a tape backwards or something. So so it is, yeah. I think it's a genuine thing that happens to many people. I remember this one time when it happened to me. We were recording and we had a technical issue, and at some point the song started playing at a different tempo. And we're like, oh, what happened? And actually, when we were listening to it, we were like, oh, doesn't sound that bad. So we ended up fixing the problem, but we started exploring the possibility of a tempo change, and we ended up setting up a tempo map and everything, and it worked really well, and it kind of gave new life to the song, because a tempo change, it refreshes the song midway through. So it, in a way, it gave us an idea, and it was a mistake. It was a technical problem, almost like a mistake, a computer problem. But which happens all the time as well. But it may give you ideas. Sometimes you have to not panic, and you have to look at things from a positive side. You have to look at the bright side of life. So yeah, basically sometimes when something bad happens or when something goes wrong, if you're living that as a tragedy, if it's, oh my God, this is bad and I'm so worried about this and I'm angry, and you can't actually see the potential in things, because it clouds your judgment. If you're experiencing negative feelings, it clouds your judgment. So it's good to be open to things. And to in the studio, I think one of the most important things is to never panic. If you panic, the creative process is over. So because if you panic as a producer or an engineer, the artist will definitely panic. So you always take a step back, assess the situation, and sometimes make the most out of the mistakes.
Mm. I love that. And yeah, it sounds like you need to be so emotionally aware as a producer, more than anyone would think.
Yeah, some of my friends, they say that a producer is almost a psychologist that knows how to operate a desk and set up some microphones, because that is what you need to do with the artist.
Oh, for sure. Like that ability to make an artist feel comfortable and heard and supported through the process seems so much more important than having really, really good technical skills that's going to make the artist maybe feel uncomfortable if the emotional skills aren't there.
That is very true. I know people, multi-Grammy winning people that say this, that they say the technical aspect is important because you need to know what you're doing, but it's only like 20% of the job. and the rest is to actually know how to navigate the studio workflow with the people and to build the right environment so people can feel safe and they can feel creative. To get the right takes out of an artist, you need to make them feel safe in that space and they need to feel comfortable. And that depends on how you're acting, because you're setting the atmosphere as a producer, as an engineer, as the technical and managerial team in the control room. You're going to be setting the atmosphere for the artist. So this is a big part of the job, actually.
Yes, yes, definitely sounds like it. So coming to our industry, I guess it's becoming more diverse, and with globalization, you work with a lot of different people from different backgrounds. So how do you approach the psychology of the creative process while being culturally sensitive, especially when working with artists from different perspectives, different backgrounds and different upbringings?
Well, I think the first thing is to be open about different cultures and different ideas, different backgrounds, different people, everything. I could give you an example of a particular instance when this happened to me. Very early on my career, I was working on a project. It was an album that was basically a fusion. The music was a fusion between Western classical music and Eastern music. So we had violins and string arrangements and woodwinds and everything, and proper like classical style stuff with Eastern instruments, the santur, the tabla, the sitar, and we were blending everything in and creating this fusion music. And when we were recording all the Western stuff, I had no problems. I transcribed all the music and I gave it to the musicians. Well, all went smoothly. And then we got some Indian classical musicians to play the santur, the tabla, the sitar. And I transcribed the score, because at that point I had never worked with Western music before. It was very early on in my career. And they arrived at the studio. I had this score. I gave it to them. And they were like, we don't actually read music from this score like this. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize. So basically, and the first thing that you need to do is to basically acknowledge, like, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know. So you have to be humble enough to say that, because it is what it is. It was what it was at the time. Now I know. And the second thing that I did is like, okay, can we sit down and can you teach me a little bit about how you read music, how you understand music, how can I communicate this music to you? So we sat down and they were like, okay, this is my instrument. This is the range of my instrument. This is how it's tuned. And we have our ragas and it works like this. And I was like, okay, so let's adapt what I did to work for you. So I sing the melody and we can rewrite it in a way that you can understand. And yeah, you have to be humble enough to admit, like, okay, I have knowledge about what I understand as music. You interpret music in a different way. You have your own techniques. It's a completely different culture, a different background. let's adapt. My way is not the right way. Your way is not the right way. People have different ways. So we adapt in a way that I can communicate what I want to you and you can understand what I'm saying. It's the same with language. When you speak into different people, you adapt to their language, to their background, to their culture. So yeah, that's what I did. And in the end, it worked brilliantly. I learned a lot about their music, their instruments, their culture, the way that they make music. And I ended up recording an album for them, engineering and producing an Indian classical record for their own stuff because we got friends of these people and I really loved their music and everything. So it was great. And you have to be open to new experiences and you end up getting, like, I got this second job as a recording engineer for this classical Indian album in the first instance, I actually sat down with them and was interested in learning about their music.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, so lovely. And it's great. You mentioned the humility of just saying and communicating to say, you know, I didn't know, but let's make this work and how can we make this work rather than kind of speaking, you know, our language and then being upset at the other person that doesn't understand it without realizing that that's not the language that they speak in. It's just really not helpful to the situation. But that humility it sounds very important.
Yeah, and imposing yourself, imposing your way is never the right way, you know, because going back to what we said earlier, many roads lead to the same end result. So there's no right or wrong way. There's different ways and you just have to welcome and accept the different ways to achieve the same result.
Yeah, I love that. So we had quite a few audience questions for you, Natalia, but we've cut it down to a couple. So there was one from Saruri, and Saruri asked, how do you keep yourself creative without always grasping for the same techniques every time?
Well, I would say it's similar to the suggestion on how to overcome the creative block. I just trying to expose myself to as many new sources of inspiration as possible. I love going to art exhibitions. I love going to the theatre, musicals, plays, everything, watching movies. I love bookshops. I read all the time, anything, fiction, non-fiction, everything is a source of inspiration. Contact with nature, going to parks, going having a nice walk at the park, a picnic by a lake, everything. If you have the right mindset, if you open your mind to receiving information and receiving everything from the external world, everything can be inspiration. If you look at a tree, if you look at a spider building its web, is one of the most wonderful things you can see if you have the right mindset to look at it. If you really look at it, you're not just seeing it and walking past it and carrying on with your life. You actually looking at everything that surrounds you and acknowledging how wonderful the world is, because the world is fascinating. Everything that happens around you is fascinating. The fact that we live and breathe and we walk, our bodies are fascinating. Nature is fascinating. So if you have the right mindset, everything can inspire you.
Mm. Oh my gosh, that sounds like a philosophy on the way to live. Which I love, you know, because it's so, so true. We can just end up being on autopilot and just taking life so for granted and just kind of going by things without realizing the beauty and the fascination around everything around us and actually taking notice. And yeah, and if you can find inspiration and bring it into your art, that's even better.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just if you have the right mindset, that is the only thing that you have to work towards. You have to put effort to develop the right mindset, a mindset of balance where you can actually see all these things around you. So you need to be very calm and relaxed and take care of yourself and feel well in order to be able to see that around you.
Mm, for sure, for sure. And we had another question from Vanessa Van Wyk. So Vanessa asked, how do you communicate your vision when you are collaborating?
I think obviously the first thing is always in a respectful way. That always precedes everything. You have to respect other people's ideas and respect your ideas. But also I think being genuine and being authentic to oneself is one of the most important things. Because in order to communicate something really well, it needs to be true to you. And if you feel that it's true, you can then expose to other people your ideas and your thoughts and your feelings in a way that they will acknowledge that truth and what that means to you. So when you put forward your ideas, when you're collaborating with someone, first make sure like, this is something that I really believe can work. This is something that really means something to me. And be open about it. Be vulnerable. You need to be vulnerable to express this actual truth and what you actually think and feel and believe, so people can actually grasp it and they can actually experience with the same depth that you experience your ideas and your feelings. You have to be vulnerable. So this is an important thing, not just in art, but in life, I think, because the vulnerability allows you to grow and to evolve in life. So I think that's the best way of communicating is being genuine, being vulnerable, because that also builds trust in between people. If you're vulnerable, you're showing that you trust the person that you're collaborating with, and they can see that, they can feel that, and they will hopefully reciprocate with the same.
Oh, yeah, a good thing to mention there. And art comes from vulnerability and accessing a part of yourself that maybe not everyone sees in the first instance. So I love that, and being able to do that with your collaborators as well. So we are now at our speed quiz. Natalia, oh God. Are you ready?
Oh my God, what is that?
Okay.
Should I be scared?
Oh, maybe slightly. But it is five quick fire this or that question. So the first thing that comes to your mind is what we want to hear. So okay. Live DJ or live band?
Live band.
Ballads or dance beats?
Ballads.
Melody or lyrics?
Melody.
Mac or PC?
Mac. 100%.
Me too. Quality or vibe?
Quality.
Okay. That was one of the speediest quizzes we've had, I have to say, Natalia.
Oh, wow.
So that was
okay.
Very well done.
I guess I know what I like. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Well, one can always change their minds if they're presented with a different perspective that looks better. But in general, like I know what I would go for, let's put it this way, if it was a quick choice. And if someone could present me that with a better option and explain to me how that is better, I would be willing to accept it.
Yeah, no, that's, I can see that from the way you speak, but also knowing what you like, I think is a great skill as well. So coming to our top tips, can you tell me what is your one top career tip?
Well, one thing that actually came up very often today in this talk was communication. So I think communication is one of the biggest things, and patience. Patience is important, and keeping calm at all times, no matter what happens, make sure that you keep calm, step back, assess the situation. You will find a solution. You just have to not panic, be patient, listen to what people have to say. Always listen to what people have to say and communicate, so you can communicate effectively.
Yeah, really good points there. And what is your one top self-care tip?
Well, I would say know your limits and respect them, because your career is very important, of course, and you have to work hard to achieve your goals. But your body is very important, is the only one you've got. Your life is very important. The people you love are very important. And there's no money that will actually buy back the time that you lose doing things you like, spending time with people you love. There's no awards that will bring back your health if you don't treat your body correctly. So this is the thing that you have to be aware of, and you have to respect that. I believe that.
Definitely. And investing time in looking after yourself is the best investment, I think. And it just reflects in every other part of your life as well. So love that.
It makes you more creative. And if you follow, I know that you have to put a little bit of effort into actually like eating well, sleeping enough hours, exercising, giving yourself a break, having some leisure time. But it is important because if you do that, your body will do the rest. The body, it naturally tends to homeostasis. It will find balance if you give it the right environment to find balance.
Definitely. And then that impacts your mental state and then your work becomes easier. I completely agree with that. So what is your one top general life tip?
Well, it is actually related to that. I think balance is the key to everything because every system in nature, it tends towards balance. Why shouldn't we strive for balance, you know? So it's balancing your work goals with your personal life and just understanding yourself, how you feel, listening to your needs and respecting them. I think that is the biggest thing.
Well, that has been a lovely, lovely chat, Natalia, and I feel like I've gotten so much from it and feeling refreshed from all the advice that you have and were lovely enough to give to us as well. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And yeah, I hope maybe we can do this again at some point. It's been lovely, really.
It really has, really has. All right, I'll let you get back to your holiday and I hope you have a great evening.
Oh, thank you. And I hope you have a great day. Is that the day in Australia?
Yeah.
Well, have a lovely day. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
My biggest three takeaways from Natalia's episode was firstly, when you feel like you are hitting a block, to make sure you take a break. Maybe go for a walk and find some inspiration outside your project. My second biggest takeaway was to make sure that you value other people's opinion in the room as if they were your own and show that same level of respect so that you have a nice positive session. My last takeaway was that to be a good producer or engineer, communication and patience is key to keep the session calm and running smoothly. That's it from us this week. I hope you enjoyed the episode and we look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks.